Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 283, stanzas 1 and 2. O come, my soul, bless thou the Lord thy Maker, and all within me bless his holy name. Bless thou the Lord, forget not all his mercies, his pardoning grace and saving love proclaim. 283, stanzas 1 and 2.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in Psalm 145. Psalm 145, David's Psalm of Praise. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all upon thee await, of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. And thou openest thine hand, and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, once again in this afternoon of this day, we may gather before thy countenance. And thou knowest each and every heart in our midst. Oh, that thou may give a cry within, and that we also may magnify and glorify thee, as the heart of thy servant did desire, to glorify and to magnify thy great and thy holy name. Oh, that every day he may bless thee, and that he might praise thy name forever and ever. Lord, then we have to experience how great our sins and our miseries are, and how deeply that we have fallen away from Thee and our father Adam, and what a heart that we have to follow him. Oh, that Thou may give a true mourning, and that Thou may give a true desire. Oh, that the impossibility may drive us to Thy footstool, and that Thou may take away all our self-strength and all our own wisdom and all our own righteousness, that we may despair thereof, that there may be a preciousness to be observed and seen in the revelation of Thy only begotten Son. Well, we are dependent, Lord, upon Thee and the working of Thy Holy Spirit continually, because we are dead in sins and in trespasses. But Thou art alive, and Thou canst speak one word to make us to live also. Oh, we beseech it of Thee in this afternoon hour, and when before Thee we are gathered. Oh, that where two or three may be gathered in Thy name, that Thou may show Thyself indeed to be in the midst of us. And also our brother who labors in Calgary, Lord, may Thou remember them in this day also. And wilt Thou bless Thy own people with blessings which they experience are so forfeited day after day. But that Thou in Thy offices may serve those who have need of being served. Lord, that Thou may teach the ignorant, that Thou may forgive the guilty, that Thou may rule and guide the wayward, and so that we may be led, each and every one of us together, on that straight and that narrow pathway that leadeth unto life. Look upon the children and the youth. Oh, give to them to see, and that it is a preciousness that they cannot do without. Oh, that their hearts may be united in the days of their youth unto Thee, and to Thy word and all Thy ministry, that they may never depart therefrom, and that Thou may feed their souls also. Lord, look upon all that are not able to gather with us in this afternoon hour, or that have no desire. Lord, there is nothing that makes us to differ, but wilt Thou take reasons out of Thyself to look upon each one of us in Thy mercy. Be with all the afflicted and the sick, and wilt Thou teach us of our spiritual disease, and make that child precious, who was not only in his lowly state, but by times did show forth his divinity, to heal the sick and to raise those, as we have read, that are bowed down from the beginning of the creation even unto the end of the world, the same yesterday, today, and forever, that it may be experienced also in the midst of us as a congregation. May it be also in this day. Wilt Thou so be on our right and on our left hand in this afternoon. Help us to bring Thy word. Help us to hear Thy word. And be in our midst as one that serveth. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 424, stanzas 1 and 2. Sing a new song to Jehovah. For all the wonders He has wrought, His right hand and His arm most holy, the victory to Him have brought. And what follows in 1 and 2 of 424, there is today only one collection, which is for our school. Thank you. Congregation never did a more significant event happen in the entire world, the history of the world, than that event which we may commemorate in this day, the incarnation of the Son of God. Never was there a single event which was more looked forward to from the very beginning of time, even from the very fall itself, and our very first parents after they had received the promise of Him. We read that also Abraham rejoiced to see his day. And we have been considering in the past weeks an Advent people throughout the ages of this world, a remnant that has looked forward to the coming of this promised Messiah. Never was there a single event which has been of more benefit to mankind than the incarnation of the Son of God. It will be to the salvation of the world, that is, of multitudes, we read in God's Word, without number, will it also be to ours. On the other hand, there is no single event that will be more to the condemnation of mankind than the incarnation of the Son of God. In our despising, in our rejecting of this great wonder and this great gift of God. And yet, though that event was the most significant event that has taken place in this world, the coming of the Son of God in the flesh, yet we find that His birth, that is wrapped in humility, in obscurity, and in a seeming insignificance. Man did not expect it. And therefore, it was providence alone that was necessary to bring this event to pass. We see in the history of this event how that the whole world that is unconsciously activated in order to fulfill the promise of the Lord that He has made unto His church so long ago. Caesar, he makes a decree, and the world must be taxed, and Mary, we read, great with child, as she arrives in Bethlehem, and it was so, we read, that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, and because there was no room for them in the inn. James says, "Hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom of God, in which the Lord has preserved for those that love Him?" Then it will not be in the first place the naturally poor, but it will be, in the first place, the spiritually poor. Those whom the Lord does make to be poor within themselves, when we have sought riches in paradise, and that did not belong unto us. But now we see the circumstances of the birth of Christ. Those very circumstances, they are a living testimony that He is the head of an afflicted and a poor people in this world. Thus we see immediately in His birth who that true church is. And so we see also that first announcement of that birth that is going unto those poor shepherds on those fields of Ephrata, and may that announcement also be of that same benefit to the poor of His church in our day. In this afternoon, we wish to consider together Luke 2, the first part of verse 14. Luke 2, verse 14a. Only these words, glory to God in the highest. So far, the words of our text. The angelic declaration of God's glory. First, whereby that glory is not received. And second, whereby that glory is received. Glory to God in the highest, the angelic declaration of God's glory, first, whereby the glory is not received, and second, whereby that glory is received. Circumstances of the birth of the Lord Jesus are circumstances of poverty, even according to the standards that we may have in this world. And yet, we have here an announcement of that birth by the angelic host of heaven. And thereby we see something of the great glory of this child. If we would see him as those shepherds did, if we would see him only lying in that manger and wrapped in those swaddling clothes, then indeed we may question, is this truly the Son of God? We can imagine that for Mary and Joseph, there were sometimes many questions within their hearts. Why? Because the word of the Lord to His church is tried. And the Lord has spoken to them. The Lord has spoken to Mary. And the Lord has spoken to Joseph. By the means of the angel, the Lord has said to Mary, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." And we read also how that the Lord has spoken to Joseph, "Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. How the circumstances of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ would now fit those most glorious promises that the Lord had given unto Mary and unto Joseph must have been for them a great mystery. Is that also so in your life? That the hope and the expectation that the Lord has raised in your heart, that there are so many questions because of the circumstances through which the Lord is leading you to their fulfillment. Because they are often circumstances in which there is a seeming contradiction to that which the Lord has given His church to hope. And yet, in all those circumstances, the Lord does not leave His people to themselves. Because in all their questions, then the Lord is giving that people from time to time little tokens whereby they may look to Him for the fulfillment of His own word. We read of the shepherds that they appear also in the manger, in the stable, to see that holy child. And in all their poverty and in all their circumstances, what a blessing that was for this Mary and Joseph. The Lord Jesus, when He came to this earth, He has hidden the divinity, His divine nature, behind that veil of His humanity. And it was by the Spirit of the Lord that there was a church in that time that was able by moments to look through that humanity unto His divinity for the profit of their own soul. For so many others, the power of the divine nature of Christ in His stay in this world was to their condemnation, but it is to the upholding of the true church of God. And then it was not only the shepherds in this day of His birth, but we also may read how that they may hear the rejoicing of a Simeon, how that they may hear the rejoicing of an Anna, and later also how that the wise men, and they are coming to present unto that child, led by the Spirit of the Lord Himself, to bring before Him all of their gifts. And then we read that so beautifully of Mary, how that Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Is that now also our practice? Because there would be many things. It was prophesied of her also by that holy man of God that a sword would pierce through her own heart also. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then it is not her mouth that has gone so open, but it was her heart that did meditate and did receive the profit from all of the works of the Lord. And they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, to keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. The Lord appears in such a surprising way unto his people. When the Lord is coming, the Lord is coming suddenly. The Lord is coming unexpectedly. And to whom? To those whom the world had never thought. It was a humble calling, those shepherds, but they have received a divine messenger. Those shepherds, they are unknown to the world. And those shepherds were not glorious to the world. They were not glorious according to the world. But the names of those shepherds, they have been heard before the throne of God. And there was a command in the heavens that that message that was to be given by way of those angels unto those lowly shepherds. They have received a divine message. They have received a communication from heaven. Although perhaps men had not even desired to speak unto those shepherds. And we have heard of that message, how that message that was a confirmation of the fulfillment of the promise of that long-awaited Messiah. Because then those angels, they speak, and they say that child, he is born in the city of David. And no sooner is that angel done speaking, and then there is a host of angels, whereby the Lord, he gives a confirmation of his own word. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Thus, for a moment, those shepherds, they may, in all their lowly state and occupation, and also that humble place that the Lord had given them in their own soul, for a moment, those disciples, they may have a view of the heavenly glory. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God, that is the highest purpose of God. I am the Lord, he says. That is my name, and my glory I will not give unto another. That glory the Lord is going to receive, because there is no one and there is no thing in heaven, in the earth, or under the earth that is able to stand in the way of the purposes of the Lord. Does it seem different? Indeed. Often it seems different because there is an enemy, and that enemy, he has no desire that the Lord would receive the glory that is due unto himself. The Lord himself, he says that when he laid the foundations of the earth, he says that the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God, they shouted for joy. Thus, in the very creation of the Lord, the Lord has been glorified. But it wasn't long before Satan, as God's creature, has rebelled. And that he has taken our first parents and that whole human race along with him. And thus we have become the robbers of the glory of God. Will then the Lord lose his glory? He will not. That is impossible, because the purpose of the Lord can never be frustrated. And even in the fall, that is according to his decree, there will be an increase in the glory of God. By nature, we have no eye to his glory. We have no eye to his glory, even with all our religion. Do we ever feel that? That our most holy duties, they are defiled, that they are stained with sin, and that man is looking not to the glory of God, but to the glory of his own name. By grace in regeneration, that becomes different. What a wonder that is. In regeneration, there is a great change in the desire of a man. Can you imagine that, children? Young people, can you imagine that? When today, that you have to say that there is nothing that is living in your heart that goes out unto the true and the living God. And it may be because you listen closely. It may be that sometimes that you go to your own house and that you say, now I will try to love the Lord And how is that?
Can you do that?
We cannot give love unto ourselves.
We cannot make ourselves to desire that which our heart does not desire. Thus, what a powerful change is that change in regeneration by the Holy Spirit of the Lord. Then they begin to desire something that they have never desired before. And what is it? It is the glory of God.
But how may the Lord now receive that glory? That is not an easy matter, though it may even be the desire of their heart. In the beginning of that new life, man thinks to glorify God by his own righteousness. Man thinks to glorify God by his own obedience. Read Psalm 101. David, he says, I will sing unto the Lord. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I will sing unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. That is the life of the people. Do you know that life? Oh, could my life, could that be now to the glory of the Lord? Could my walk be to his honor? Oh, could my work be to his honor? Could my religion be to his honor? Could my speech be to his honor? That is that new desire. Because there is love. That love planted in the heart for the Lord. What did Saul say? Immediately. The Lord came. He says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Then they will glorify God by their own obedience.
Thus we have the angels. They sing here. Glory to God in the highest. Is that right?
Oh, they sing here about that new obedience that the Spirit of the Lord is giving unto his people. They sing here about that new obedience that the Lord is giving in true conversion. They sing about the obedience of Zacharias and Elizabeth, who are both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. They sing of Job, that new obedience, that perfect and an upright man who feared God, who eschewed evil. They sing of Enoch, who walked with God and who pleased him. Is that right, children? Is that right? They sing the angels of the obedience of Zacharias and Elizabeth and of Job and of Enoch. Is that right? Is that what you hear? You say no. No. We don't read that at all. They are not singing about Zacharias and his obedience, and Job and his obedience, and Enoch and his obedience. Not at all. That is what man does.
He sings of his own obedience. Even when he may acknowledge that the Lord, he has worked that obedience.
And why don't the angels, they sing of that blessed obedience? Is not obedience better than sacrifice? Is not that obedience of Zacharias and Elizabeth? Is not that obedience now to the honor and to the glory of the Lord? Is that not pleasing unto the Lord? Oh, certainly. Oh, certainly it is pleasing to him. Do you know what we read even of the rich young ruler? The Lord Jesus, it says, he loved him. That was not the same as the love that he has to his church, no. But that was that walk. Do we have that walk also? That was the walk. The Lord, he cannot but help to love that walk that is upright, that is according to his own word, his statutes, his precepts, his commandments. And yet, the angels, they do not sing about this new obedience. And why not? Because it is insufficient. Because that obedience is imperfect. And that obedience cannot be acceptable unto him. What does James say? Whosoever has kept the whole law and yet is guilty in one point, he is guilty of all. Thus the angels, they cannot sing of that obedience. Why? Because that obedience is stained, that obedience that is polluted. Isaiah, he says, our righteousnesses, they are as filthy rags. Thus, even that new obedience, though it is in itself pleasing to the Lord, there is so much of that wretched man that is involved in that obedience that it is nothing but filthy rags before the countenance of the Lord. Can that then be to his glory? Oh, the life of that young church is a great disappointment. A great disappointment. More and more. Why? Because it is a lesson, one great lesson in their depravity. One great lesson in our deep fall. One great lesson in how great my sins and miseries are. What did Paul say later? Oh, wretched man that I am. Why? The law that was in his members. No, the angels cannot sing of that obedience. Because it cannot reach the height of the standard of God. And when we have reached that height, we have done only what is our duty to do. Glory to God in the highest. Maybe those angels, maybe they are then singing of the obedience of the angels. Maybe then they are singing about the obedience of Gabriel or of Michael the archangel or of the cherubim and the seraphim who are standing before the face of the Lord. That is an obedience that is not like our obedience. Is that not a perfect obedience? Does not David also speak about the hosts of the Lord, the ministers of his that do his pleasure? Oh, that is true.
that is an obedience that is perfect. That is, when the Lord says go, they go. And when the Lord says come, they come. Do you do that too, boys and girls? But the angels, that is imperfection. And yet, that is not the obedience that these angels are singing of. When they say, glory to God in the highest. By that obedience of the angels, the Lord is glorified, yes. But that is now the same glory as the Lord would have received from us had we never fallen. Then we had given unto the Lord the same glory as the angels. And yet that is not the highest glory that God can receive. To be glorified as the Creator by those who are obedient creatures, that is not yet the highest glory. Yes, it is glorious. But there are degrees. There are degrees of glory. There is one glory of the sun, we read, and one glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, because we read one star differeth from another star in glory. And then what do we read when the Apostle Paul speaks of this? Then we read about death and the resurrection. And Paul says, there is a greater glory in the resurrection. And then he makes a comparison, children, so that you can understand it too. A little seed. You have seen that. A little seed. That does not look like too much. And when you will take that little seed and put it in the ground, and it will begin to grow. And what does it become? It becomes a plant. Now we ask you this, what is more glorious? That little seed or that plant? That plant upon which comes a multitude of fruit for the service of man. Then the apostle says that that plant, that is much more glorious. But if we will have that plant, what first has to happen to that seed? The Lord Jesus himself, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Then, if it die, then it will have afterwards a body that is much more glorious. Thus, what has there first to be? Death. For that seed. So, the apostle says, it is with the natural body. He says, it is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. What will be more glorious? The body of the church on the earth or the body of the church after the resurrection. But now, in order to receive that glory, there must first come death. And now we see, so it is also with that elect church of God, loved by Him from a never begun eternity. And the Lord is going to receive the highest glory that is ever possible from His church. How will it be? It will be through the fall. It will be through death, out of which the Lord is going to deliver His people to the greater glory of His own name. Paul, he says, the first Adam was created a living soul. But the second Adam, he was made a quickening spirit. The first covenant that was glorious, but it was not the highest glory. And what is that glory that the Lord is going to receive? It is going to be the highest glory. For even we read that which was glorious, that which was glorious, had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelled. There is a glory that excels. So that the first glory, the glory of creation, that is going to fade away in significance compared to the glory of what? Redemption. Why? Because every attribute of that Most High God will be magnified to all eternity. That was not possible by the mere creation. But after the fall and through the redemption of the church, it is the mercy of God and the righteousness of God in the punishment of sin that also will be glorified, so that now God, He may be known not only in some of His attributes, but He may be known in all of His attributes. And so He is going to receive all the glory. Let us sing. Psalter 111. I waited for the Lord Most High, and He inclined to hear my cry. He took me from destruction's pit and from the miry clay. Upon a rock He set my feet and steadfast made my way. All stanzas of Psalter 111. Thank you. Glory to God in the highest, of whom do those angels sing? Then they do not sing of the obedience of Zacharias and Elizabeth, or of Job, or of Enoch, or of any of the people of the Lord. But they sing about that little child. That little child that was born in that manger in Bethlehem, then he would bring the highest possible glory unto his Father. Glory to God in the highest. Why? Because of the obedience of man? No. But because of the obedience of the Son of God, when he would become the Son of Man. All they rejoice. They rejoice at that answer of the Son to the Father, already in the Council of Peace, who will go for us. Here am I, send me. Oh, they rejoice in the incarnation of that Son of God, that divinity that took upon himself humanity, that he may save humanity. And not only so, but that he was willing to come in this state of humiliation. We have heard that is even more. Man cannot understand it rightly. But the greatest glory of God, that is by the way of the deepest humility, by him that is actually the most glorious. They rejoice because that Son of God, he has abased himself so deeply in order to save a people who had fallen so deeply in their quest, in their desire to raise themselves on high. Oh, glory to God in the highest. That is the ultimate end of all the decrees of the Lord, and therefore the ultimate end also of the incarnation of that blessed Son of God. Oh, have we desire for that glory, that desire that is placed in that new birth, does that lay also in our heart? And then we have to experience the impossibility of this. Do we experience that also? And thus that song of those angels that touched a chord in the heart of those shepherds, that touched a chord in their heart, because when they may sing glory to God in the highest, oh, that is something, a desire that lay in the heart of those shepherds. But they could not do it. That was from their side such an impossibility. And now those angels, they sing of it. And when they sing of it, all they sing, they speak of the Son of God. And then they may see something, how that God can receive his glory, how that the Lord can be glorified, and that my soul can be saved. Glory to God in the highest. Why? Because of the wisdom of God in the preservation of all his attributes, and at the same time in the salvation of his people. What did David say? Mercy and truth, they are met together. Righteousness and peace, they have kissed each other. For David, that was a wonder. Or is that ever a wonder also to us? What did Peter say to the Lord Jesus? He said, children, he said, depart from me because I am a sinful man. What do you think? Did Peter want the Lord Jesus to go away? Oh, no. Oh, no. He loved the Lord. Why would he say such a thing? Depart from me because I am a sinful man. Oh, he thought, this sinful man,
And if I will come anywhere near to the Lord Jesus, he shall be so polluted by me. Depart from me. Oh, if he was forced now to choose, then he would choose for the Lord. Oh, that the Lord, he would not be defiled by me. And now, the greatest wonder, when the Lord, he is showing the way to that people, how it is possible that they may have now both, or in the revelation of his only begotten Son, in whom mercy and truth, they are met together. Mercy, Peter, for your sinful soul. And at the same time, all the truth and the righteousness and the justice and every attribute of the Lord, that is now upheld. And then that people, they may begin to sing. Oh, they may begin to sing, because now they may see how it is possible that God may still receive the glory, the desire of their heart, and the other desire, oh, that their own soul may be saved, may be reconciled unto God. Oh, glory to God in the highest. Because of his wisdom, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Glory, glory to God in the highest. Why? Because of that holy child, a holy child. All the world did not know anything of this anymore. But now a holy child, a child in that human nature that is able to approach unto that holy God because he is holy. And outside that imputation of the sin of our father Adam, or is there not a people who may glory in it, in whom there is nothing but unholiness and filthiness and wretchedness and corruption? And now, when the Lord is showing them that holy child, then they may bow. Oh, then they may worship him, congregation. Is there now a people? Do you experience the impossibility of that reconciliation? Do you experience a little bit what it says in the Bible, dead? Oh, dead in trespasses and in sins. How deep? How deep is that pit that we have brought ourselves into? Oh, beyond all hope of delivering ourselves from that pit. Or do you ever think it would be more possible to pluck the stars out of heaven than to save your own soul? Unto such people, the Lord, he has declared unto you. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And then they may begin to sing, oh, who can fathom it, the power of that little child. Glory, oh, glory to God in the highest, because he will deliver the needy when he crieth, and the poor who has no helper. Glory to God in the highest, in the height of his divinity, in the depth of his humanity, in whom dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead, we read, bodily. All glory to God in the highest, in his all sufficiency, in his goodness, in his strict justice, but now also in his grace, also in his mercy, all of his obedience. The disobedient, they are going to sing with those angels. No, they are going to sing. They are going to sing a pitch higher than those angels to all eternity. The disobedient, they are going to sing about His obedience, of His innocence. The guilty are going to sing higher than those angels. Glory to God in the highest. All of His mercy and of His grace. The unworthy, they are going to sing a pitch higher than all the host of heaven to all eternity. Glory to God in the highest. And so we can go on. And that people, they will go on. They will go on and on and on to all eternity. Why? Because they have done it? No. But because He has done it. Because He is the Alpha and He is the Omega. Because He is the beginning and He is the ending. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, instruct us in all Thy truth. And wilt Thou show us a little of that glory? We can never anymore. From our side, it is so hopeless. And we lay, Lord, in our misery. We lay in our death state. We lay polluted in our own blood. But it is Thy own word. And Lord, oh, give it to be our experience too, each and every one of us. And then Thy name will receive the glory, and our soul that shall be saved. Bring us safely to our homes. Forgive our many sins, and bring us with desire to gather upon Thy holy day again. For Jesus' sake, amen. 306, 1, 3, and 4. Praise God, ye servants of the Lord. Praise, praise His name. And with one accord, bless ye the Lord. His name adore. From this time forth forevermore. From this time forth forevermore. 1, 3, and 4 of 306.
Of the Lord.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.